take the prayers. He said, God has what? Established us. He has subdued the land before us. And he said, there are blessings that are hanging in the heavens for us. I said, that's still part of my message that Pastor collected. As if that was not still enough. When Pastor Mrs. came to give offering, she now read one of the scriptures that I was hoping to read again. I said, this is too much. And when we were taking the offering again, we were singing what? Higher ground. He said, my depths, lift us up where no doubts arise and where fear does not dismay. I said, that is still part of the message. That did not finish. Choir came up to sing again. And now they sang, my debts you've paid. So I'm certain that God is about to do something in our lives. And as we go further, shall we just pray? Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come before you. Even as we quickly look into your word, Father, speak to our hearts. Father, I stand behind your cross, Lord. And I say, use me, Lord, to bring your word to your children even this day. Even as you've already started speaking, confirm that which you're about to do in the lives of everyone here in Jesus' mighty name. Quickly, as we progress, let me just read Luke chapter 18. I'll just read verse 1 to 9 quickly. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You remember the Bible reading we had? What did the man say when Jesus told him he was ready to do what he wanted to do? He said, Lord, I believe. But what? Help my unbelief. Quickly, some things I want to point out from that same scripture we read. You see, firstly, when they encountered Jesus and he reported what had happened, Jesus said what? Oh, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Oh, ye faithless generation, how long will I put up with you? They had Jesus, the living word, the word of God that was made flesh amongst them, in their midst. But they still had no faith. Secondly, he said, how long, in verse 21, how long has it been like this? God knows for how long that situation has been there. He knows the duration. And that is immaterial to him. Praise the Lord. And then in verse 23, he says, if you can, which is principally what we'll be holding on to. He said, everything is possible for him who believes. So you must what? Believe. I'll just stop there for now. And like I said, we'll be looking at what's your credit score. Are you credit worthy? When you come to God's bank, how many of us have a bank card here? If you don't mind pulling it out, you can pull it out and show your friend and tell him, I have money. Pull out your card, show your friend, tell him, I have money. Where is the money? Pardon? In the bank. But why would you want to show somebody your card? That you have money in the bank? Good, okay, that's the direct link to the money in the bank. But that is what? An evidence that you have what? Something in the bank. When you go to Tesco's, when you go to Marks and Spencer to shop, what do you tender? Probably you may not go with cash, but the moment you pull out your card, the person at the till knows that you're ready to transact and they attend to you. Are you credit worthy when you come before God? So we'll be looking at some few things quickly. Credit worthiness. What is credit worthiness? That's trustworthiness with money based on a person's credit history. Let us mark this word, credit history. So there's got to be a history. It could also mean a general qualification that entitles you to a financial facility, which is what we'll be looking at today. If you wanted to get a credit card, or you wanted a loan or a mortgage from a bank, what do they look at? Your credit worthiness. Are you capable of receiving any credit from them? They don't want to just give money to anybody who will just take and just go and will not be able to pay back. Praise the Lord. So things to note, it does not matter how much you have in your account. Because sometimes they don't look at the physical amount in your account. They look at what comes into the account. Is there a consistent flow into the account? That is what they look at. They don't look at whether you have £10,000 or not. But is £10,000 coming in every month? Then you are credit worthy. Do you have the right credit score? That's another thing they look at. And there are so many variables that determine your credit score. And then they look at what? What are you worth? Like we said, what keeps coming into your account? They don't just look at, you have an account that has £10,000 in it. What keeps coming in? So are you worth anything? Then your credit worthiness also is an expression of what? Your financial stamina. It shows what? You have potentials. So it's a form of what? A currency. Because even without the physical cash, because you know you are credit worthy, you're sure that when you need an overdraft, if you go to the bank will advance a facility to you. It is also an evidence of what? Things not seen. Like we say, when you go to Tesco, they don't need to see the cash. But if you present your card, they know you have money somewhere. So it also expresses what? Potential. Can we go to the next slide? The concept of demand and supply. For every transaction that must be ratified, there must be what? Two things, the demand side and the supply side. If there's no demand, there's no supply. If there's no supply, there will be no demand. Are you placing a demand? In our Bible reading, we saw what? The man came and said, Master, I've brought my son. He's been sick. These spirits have possessed him. So he placed a demand. Praise the Lord. And then for every transaction to be ratified fully, there must be what? An exchange. What do you have in exchange? In the earthly realms, when you want to buy something from the earthly marketplace, what do you use? Cash. Or you use things that have a monetary value. Do you have spiritual cash? When we deal in spiritual things, we collect from the spirit realm. So do you have money in your spiritual account? How much money do you have in that account? Because when you transact, there must be an exchange. Do you have what it takes to exchange for what you want to get? And also, we must know that a low credit score cannot get you any facility. Let's just quickly look at James chapter 1, verse 7. James chapter 1, verse 7 says, the man should not think that he will... Or rather, let's read from 6. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all he does. Praise the Lord. So if you are unstable, if you have a low credit score before God, you won't get anything. Is that the reason why we come before God and we don't get anything? Probably we have a low credit score. Praise the Lord. Ask your neighbor, what is your credit score? What are you worth? What is your credit score in your spiritual account? Praise the Lord. Then let's move to the next slide. What are you worth? The Bible tells us something. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, it says what? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. You have not seen it yet, but you have evidence. Like when you go to the bank, they don't see the physical cash you have, but they see your card and they know you have money somewhere. What is the evidence? Where is the substance? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see it, but you have evidence that it is somewhere. Praise the Lord. And the Bible goes on to tell us that what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What a difficult God. You don't see the thing and you say, without faith, you can't please him. And you need that thing. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says what? Can you just project that? Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. But you need to understand, he said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Remember what he told Moses when he sent Moses out. He said what? He said, when they ask you, tell them, I am that I am. The Lord is telling you today, I am that I am. That is literally what he is means. If my English is correct, I think they say when you are reporting, third person, is it, what do they call it in English? When you are saying what someone has told you, telling to another person, what do you say? He said, so God said what? So Apostle Paul was writing and he said what? God is what? Is. He is. What is God to you? Who is he to you? When you need a father, God is your father. He said he's your Abba Father. When you need provision, he said, I am your El Shaddai. I am your Jehovah Jireh. When you need healing, he said, I am your Jehovah Rapha. When you need supplies, he said what? I will make a way where there seems to be no way. When you need direction, he said, I am the Lord your shepherd. What do you need from him? Who is he to you? What is he to you? Is he I am to you? We define I am as what? I am what I am. So he is what he is to you. If you need a father, he is your father. If you need a friend, he is a faithful friend. Who is he to you? That defines everything. If you go to a bank and you want a loan, if you don't have a relationship with the bank, don't expect to get anything. You must have a relationship with the bank. So you must know who he is first. If you don't know him, sorry, you can't receive anything. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible also tells us what? He is a rewarder. So he rewards those who what? Diligently. Diligently. He didn't say those who haphazardly seek him. Or those who just come around once in a while to see him. But those who are diligently. Probably your diligence is why you come to God in faith and you cry and say, Father, I believe, and nothing comes. His disciples were with him. They slept with him, woke up with him. In fact, even the ones he loved most, that would even lie down on his lap when he's sitting down, they were all there. They brought this boy. They could not do anything. They had the word, the living word, the eternal word, but they could still do nothing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that what? Abraham believed God, and it was credited for him as what? Righteousness. What are you worth? What is your credit worth? Abraham believed, and his belief was what? Credited for righteousness. So if you want credit in your account, what do? You believe God. Praise the Lord. We see the story of Abraham. What happened? He was sitting in his father's house, Jeje, one day, and the Lord told him what? He said, get up, get out. I'm taking you somewhere. He didn't even tell him where he was taking him. Apologies to those who don't understand Jeje. He was just settled in his father's house, enjoying his father's world and everything. God said, get out. But in what? In faith, he moved out. And God took him until he got to a place and God said, this is the land. But before he even said, this is the land, at a point in time, God told him what? He said, you are the father of nations. Meanwhile, this was somebody that didn't even have one child. And to even compound matters more, God said what? I've changed your name from Abraham to what? Abraham. Ha! People will see you and call you Abraham. Where's the son? You don't have any child. You're calling yourself Abraham. Father of nations. What father of nations? Abraham waited how many years before that promise came? 25 years. Do you have the faith that would sustain you for 25 years? Holding on to God. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I can have that kind of faith. But so when the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and it was credited for him as righteousness, we understand what that means. When eventually he got the promise, what happened? God woke up one day again. He was still sitting Jeje. Now you understand the meaning of Jeje. And he told him what? He said, take your son, your only son. Because there was one other one, but he knew the one he loved the most. He said, take that one and go and sacrifice him unto me. And you see how this God is. He allowed him to travel for 3 days. He didn't. And he said, go on a mountain. I will show you. He didn't tell him what mountain. How many times has God told you something and he didn't tell you the precise location or destination, and you are wondering, God, is this you? Are you speaking? I can't go. I don't want to go. How many times? But Abraham foolishly and stupidly got up, took the son, and he went out. For 3 days, he was traveling. I'm sure God allowed him to travel for 3 days to see whether he would change his mind along the way. God didn't speak. He didn't tell him nothing. 3 days, he was traveling. And when he got to a particular place, which is something we need to understand, Because like in the first instance, when God called him out of his father's house, he took with him who? Lot, his nephew. But you see, before God showed, and I'm sure one of the reasons why he took Lot was because he felt, since I don't have a child, I should better take one of my relatives along with me. At least if I die, I know I have somebody that belongs in my family that can inherit me. But you notice that it was when Abraham separated from Lot that God now gave him a vision. I told him, what? Look at the stars of the sky. I will make your what? Your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. So he separated from Lot before he saw something. And when he was going to sacrifice Isaac, what happened again? They reached a point and then he did what? He told the servants, he said, okay, you guys wait here. Myself and the young lad will go further. There was a second separation. What are those things that you're willing to separate from to carry on with God? On the journey with God, there are times when some things have to drop off your life. Abraham believed God and it was credited for him as righteousness. He was justified by faith. It was after he separated from these guys that he moved on. And then God said, this is the spot where you sacrifice this child. And when he went ahead to do what God told him, God intervened. Praise the Lord. So we see why God said what? He was credited to him as what? Righteousness. Praise the Lord. We'll just move quickly. And by faith, the Bible tells us what? Shall the just live? Three times, or rather even four times, he says the just shall live by faith. In Romans chapter 1 verse 17, he says the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11 still emphasize the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 37, he says the just shall live by faith. In Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4b, he says the just shall live by faith. Everywhere you go is the just shall live by faith. Four times. That means one for the east, one for the north, one for the west, and one for the south. Everywhere you turn, you must live by faith. Praise the Lord. So you, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And sometimes we say, how big must the faith be? Jesus told his disciples what? He said, as small as a mustard seed. When he talks about as small as a mustard seed, he's not talking necessarily about what? The size of the seed. But it is a potential in the seed. That is why your faith is expected to increase. So sometimes you think it's because your faith is that you need just small faith. It must be a living faith. Because faith is generated through one means. And that is why that faith must live. Praise the Lord. Faith must be what? Generated. So it must be what? A seed that can be sown. So according to heaven's expectation, without faith, you cannot please God. And he said that faith should start off small as a seed. A seed. What is a seed? A seed is something that has life. Is your faith a living faith or dead faith? For the spirit quickeneth. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So then, how does faith come? Thank you very much. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. Hearing. Is it the words of men? I'm glad you said it yourselves. By hearing the word of God. How often do you hear the word? And how do you hear the word of God? Because somebody will tell me, I've been in church since I was born and I've been hearing the word of God, but nothing seems to be happening. Why? Okay, being doers. How easy is it to be a doer of the word? Now faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How do you hear the word? How do you hear? He said, they cannot hear except someone be sent. How many people has God sent into your life? Every day you come to church, every week you are in service, you keep hearing the word of God. You keep doing the word of God. Why has it not produced that result you want? Faith not being mixed with works is what? Dead. It does not produce results. You have mixed it with works, it still is not producing results. Why? The Bible tells us the words were framed by the word of God. The eternal one, the one who rules upon what? The circles of the earth. The one who created the firmaments, the heavens and the earth, and everything thereupon. He's the same God that said what? He knows all the stars in the sky and he calls them by name. How much more you that is his child? that is made in his image and in his likeness. The word of God framed the earth. Everything is sustained in the world by the power of his word. It is not by the written word that things are sustained. It is what? By the living word. He said what? For the letter killeth, but the spirit bringeth what? Life. Where is the life in the word? If you must see the results you want, where is the life in your word? The same word of God is said what? And the word, O Lord, is forever settled. It's settled in heaven. God said what? He has exalted his name, his word above even his name. Is that not a terrible thing? He has exalted his name above who he is. Because your name is who you are. Your name is your image. Your name is what? A representation of you. But he said, I have exalted my word above my name. That same word that we still hold on to and we say, it's not working. Why? The Bible says what? And a wise man built, I will liken him to a wise man. I think Matthew 7:23. He said, I will liken him to a wise man who what? He heard the word. And what? And does it. And by that he did what? He's likened to a man who had built his house upon the rock. Sorry, a wise man is he who hears the word. And then what? Builds himself upon that word. The word of God tells us what? The foundation of the Lord standeth sure. And that foundation is what? The word of God. That is our foundation. And he said concerning that wise man that when the storms of life came raging, he said it could not knock him off. Because what? He was what? Rooted on the foundation. The rock. When Jesus was revealing himself to his disciples, he asked, who do you say I am? They said, what? You are the Messiah, the Christ. And he said, what? Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail upon it. Upon what? This revelation that you have. So faith does not come by the written word. It comes by what? The revealed word of God. How is the word revealed unto you? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it. How many times? Day and night. Day and night. By it then you shall make your ways what? Prosperous and have good success. How many times do you meditate on the word? Are you meditating on soap opera that you see on TV? Is it soap enders, EastEnders you're meditating on? Don't mind me. It's just that for some time I've not been watching TV, so I was saying soap enders. Is it EastEnders or Coronation Street or whatever you're watching? Are those the things that teleguide your life? Are those the things that determine how you move in your life? He said, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. Are you thinking about the word? What are you thinking about? You hear the word. After church, they ask you 20 minutes after church, what was the message yesterday? You can't remember. But if they ask you what happened last week in Desperate Housewives, you can, the whole 30 minutes, you can narrate what happened. You remember what everybody said there, but you can't remember what they said in church. And you expect that your life will be sustained by the word you heard? O faithless generation, for how long will you have me with you? The same word, the living word that created all things, you have with you. Say day and night. So it is upon the revealed word that you get what? The promises. And we should also understand that what? Faith is a weapon of war. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says us what? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. That is the battle you are fighting. And then you are busy fighting it with thoughts of EastEnders and what happened on TV. You've not sharpened your sword. He said, iron sharpeneth iron, so one man the countenance of another. When you come to church, what do you come to church to do? Do you come to get sharpened? Or you just come around to just see everybody and just greet everybody and say hi to everyone and then you leave at the end of the day? Is that what you come to church to do? When you settle with the word of God, do you just read the stories in the word of God? Or do you get to understand the revelations of the word of God? Why do you study the word? Is it because pastor says you should read your Bible every day that you are reading the Bible? Or is it because you have written daily devotional that you are reading the daily devotional? Or are you doing it to get what God is telling you per time? Yesterday, pastor said something. God does not speak all the time. He only speaks when he needs to speak. So if your heart is not in tune with him, he will not speak. He will not say anything. If you are just coming to read it for reading's sake, he will not speak. Praise the Lord. I quickly try to wrap up my message. Our next slide, Ayo. Credit requirements. One, if you must get a credit facility from every bank, you must have a right standing, a right relationship with God. We saw in Abraham's case, say what? He what? Believed God and it was credited to him for what? Righteousness. If you don't have a relationship with the bank, you don't expect to get anything from that bank. You need what? Capacity. To be worthy, and you prove capacity to withstand in case of default. Ephesians 6:16. Can we read that, please? Because that is why we need faith. Because the Bible tells us what? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And earlier we said something. What? The spiritual governs the physical. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So if you're walking by sight, I'm sorry, you won't see what's going on. And you won't appropriate what belongs to you. But if you must appropriate what belongs to you, you must walk by what? Faith. Hallelujah. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. God has made so many promises unto us, but the devil is out to frustrate you. And you need to fight him. And the Bible says what? Taking up what? The shield of faith, with which you can what? Quench the fiery darts. It didn't say just the small darts or the light darts. They are fiery, wicked ones, terrible ones. It's not just small things that he's hurling at you. Terrible things that will knock you off. Terrible things that will destroy you and finish you for good. That's what the devil wants. For the Bible says what? The thief cometh but what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. That is his ultimate objective. But you have what? The shield of faith. So faith is what? A weapon as well. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible talks about what? Confessing and professing our faith. Praise the Lord. And then also, before God releases a blessing, he has to consider your risk factor. Are you a risk to him? If God blesses you with £1 million today, would that send you away from church? Or would that even make you more committed to him? Because that is what the banks check when they are checking your credit rating. They check your risk factor. Can this person pay back the loan if we pay him, or will he default? I think on the slide, if you see, I wrote something there. You need to be worthy to prove capacity to withstand in case of what? Default. The bank looks at default. But we look at what? The devil's faults. The devil brings faults. He brings what? Offenses. He brings problems. He brings issues to challenge your faith. So will you default if God entrusts you with that thing you're hoping for or that thing you're believing him for? Will you default or will it make you serve him more? Praise the Lord. We run quickly. Going back to what this man said when the Lord confronted him about his son. He said, Lord, I need to what? Believe, but help, or rather I believe, help my unbelief. How do you need to polish or probably upgrade your unbelief to become belief? One, you need to place a demand on the Lord, because if you don't place a demand, nothing will be released to you. And it helps you to what? Energize yourself. It helps you to what? Exercise your faith. If you don't exercise your faith, there is no way your faith will grow. Abraham kept believing God despite all that he kept seeing, and it was counted for him as what? Righteousness. And then also, you need to what? Add certain virtues to your faith. Can somebody quickly open to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 8, a list of things that you need to add to your faith. So sometimes we think it's just about having faith. And that was one other thing I think grandma talked about earlier. Love. You need to add to your what? To your faith, love. Or rather, let's even look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. You need to add to your faith, love. Without love, your faith will not work. If you're not walking in love, don't expect your faith to produce results. You must love God and you must love your fellow men. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5, 6. It says, for in Jesus neither circumcision availeth any, nor uncircumcision. But what? Faith which worketh by love. So is your faith working by love? Praise the Lord. And then also, as we've heard, faith cometh by what? Hearing. consistent inflows into your account. If you don't have things coming into your account always, don't expect to get anything. Because when they go to the heavenly bank, by the time you tender your card in the heavenly cash machine and they check, it will be transaction decline, no sufficient funds. So you need to populate your heavenly account with what? By hearing the word and by meditating on the word. When faith is built, when there is a need and you place a demand on the anointing, there is a release. Praise the Lord. Also, your environment matters. Grandma also talked about this earlier in the morning. Psalms chapter 1. That one, I know I'm short for time, but I seriously want us to just look at that, please. Psalms chapter 1. Because I remember there was a time I went to the bank and I needed a facility, and they told me sometimes they look into your postcode. Your postcode determines whether you get a credit facility from the bank. True or false? Sometimes it does. Because they told me, they said there are certain areas where they have people who have a high rate of default. So if you live in that kind of environment, they can't trust you to give you anything. Praise the Lord. I'm sure Brother Sebastian works in a bank. Am I correct? He said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which yield forth his fruits in his season. Where are you standing? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners. Where are you standing? Where is your spiritual postcode? Look at your neighbor and ask him, what's your spiritual postcode? If you are in the wrong postcode, better relocate. Praise the Lord. And then also, one other thing is that they look at what? Your past failures, defaults and all that. Probably your lack of faith is as a result of past failures. You've exercised faith and it didn't work and you've given up. The Bible says what? Keep at it. Abraham believed God for 25 years before he got that son that God promised him. For how many times have you tried? Praise the Lord. And then also what? Be diligent in building your faith. You remember we talked about diligence. That's why I don't want to dwell on that now because we've already talked about it. So diligently you have to do it. Then find out God's will concerning your situation. Just like when you have a low credit rating, what do? You go to what? A financial advisor, isn't it? To find out. Or you go to the credit reference agency to find out what's wrong with your credit score. What's responsible for a low credit score? What's wrong with your credit rating? And they tell you what you need to do. So you need to get back to God. Also, get a contract. I remember when I wanted a credit card. They said I needed to get what? A contract. They needed to be sure that at least I had something I was servicing and I was consistent at it. If you're not working for God, if you're not engaged in God's work, if you're not working with God, you don't expect to get anything from Him. Praise the Lord. And then also keep speaking to the situation. For when we believe, we what? Profess. They said those who come to Him must what? Confess Him. If you don't confess it, if you don't profess it, if you don't declare it, it won't come. Praise the Lord. And then the last three, stability. He said, he who is tossed to and fro shall not receive anything. Are you the kind of person that has been tossed to and fro? And one wonderful one that knocked me where I was, they said it's subject to status. If you're not a resident of the UK, don't expect to get any credit facility from any UK financial institution. So if you're not a part of the kingdom of God, don't expect to get anything from the kingdom of God. And then another thing, lastly, is what? Remember to what? Always give Him praise. If your faith must work, remember to praise Him. He said, praise Him in all things, in all situations, in all circumstances, for that is the perfect will of God. So if we learn to give Him praise, that would what? Help our unbelief. When you know you've appreciated God for what He has not even done, then you're sure that what? He will do it. Because He said what? He will not give His glory to another man. Which implies that what? He will not live to suffer shame. So if you've given Him the praise for what He has done, for even what He has not done, He will endeavor that He does that in your life in Jesus' name. Shall we just quickly stand up and just talk to God, even concerning those things that we are holding on to Him for, those things that we are believing Him for. What is your credit rating? What are you worth?